debt. You got to go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. And don't forget insane inflation. That keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done with debt is your lifeline. Done with debt has an ingenious new strategy to help you erase your debt faster and easier than you ever thought was possible. Done with debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce your bills. They know how to get interest rates cut. Their skilled staff of negotiators know how to get the debt out of your life permanently, without bankruptcy and without a loan. Done with debt are the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive. So here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Again, donewithdebt.com.
Think about poor Dana and all the stupid radio people he has to talk to and act like he likes them all day.
Well, he's probably just getting started now.
You think we might be his first guys?
Hopefully this is the early run, yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder what like an average daily media junket is for him. Poor guy.
There he is.
Hey,
and don't forget, it's 6 o'clock over there, Bubba, at night.
Dana. Hey, guys.
Oh.
No, this is the late run. I've been doing media all day. It's late here.
And it sucks. You have to act like you like the guy, and the guy knows nothing, and he's just irritating, ask stupid questions. Hopefully we're
it's
not.
It's all good.
Hopefully we're not on that list, Dana. You know, we've had a little bit of a
not
history.
Not even close.
Hey, how about not completely, but completely off subject of what you're promoting in UFC 257? How about your boy Tom Brady, NFC Championship game?
Talk to him right after the game, man. I'm loving it. He's on fire, man. He's all pumped up and ready to whoop some ass.
You know, last summer, I think June, my buddy Deion Sanders was in town, and his son Shador was like getting some lessons from Tom, and Deion let me go, and I met Tom.
And, the best, right?
Oh, and Dana, I got to tell you, just the guy just has, and I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. Like, you know, I love, right. You know, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, but I met the guy, and he just, it just exhumes the it factor. Like, he's just got the it factor.
And Rodgers is a great dude, too. I like Aaron, too. He's a nice guy.
All those guys get along.
Yeah, well, yeah, that upper level of, you know, of quarterback. But, man, Brady is just, he has come to Tampa as promised and did exactly what he needed to do, you know.
How about after the game, he's throwing passes with Drew Brees' kids?
One of the cutest things I've ever seen. Wasn't his daughter doing
so cool?
Unreal.
Dana, so here I am a Packer fan all my life, and I didn't really like Tom Brady because, you know, he's a winner, and he always, you know,
You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to like Tom Brady when you're a Green Bay fan.
Exactly. And so, you know, I probably even talked smack about Tom Brady over the years. Like, screw Tom Baby and the fumble rooski and the deflate Willie and all that kind of nonsense. And then I met him, and I'm like a little bitch for Tom Brady now. I was like, man, he's the greatest guy ever. Because
me too, man.
He's just
I got a man crush on Brady, have for a long time. He's the best, and he's become a really good friend of mine, and I can't say enough good things about him.
You know, like, you don't see Tom Brady getting involved in any nonsense. He's just Johnny right down the middle, you know, just a good guy, hot wife, great family. You know, just you never see him getting part of any nonsense.
No, never, man. All the guy does is focus on football. Stays on.
Quote of the day.
That actually should be his new TB12 shirt, a big goat turd kind of deal, right? Now, are you coming to the Super Bowl, Dana?
Probably not. I mean, listen, if Brady's in it, maybe I will. I'm assuming it's going to be insane to get tickets to this thing. But,
Dana White.
How many people are they going to let him? How many people they're going to let go?
Dana White doesn't need a tip. Come on. Dana, you're on that level now, Dana. You know that. You're on that level that you show up. They're probably begging you to come to every major event.
How many people they got going, you know?
Jay, you have my...
Have you seen the stadiums? We have more stands in our stadiums than any other stadium in the entire NFL. Tampa Bay is wide open. We got COVID under control. We've got safe protocols. Man, it's awesome. If Brady's here, come home.
I think they're thinking 20 to... Is Seth there 20 or
it's
25?
20%.
20%.
That'll go up.
But all the boxes are open. Every single one at every level is open.
Dana, have
you? That's awesome, man. You got to love Florida, boys.
You do.
In all the years of being a sports promoter and owner of franchises and things like that, I can't think of any city that got screwed more than Tampa One, WrestleMania was supposed to be here in March. Then the Lightning make the Stanley Cup playoffs, have no games here. Then the Rays make the World Series, no games here. Then Tom Brady signs to be our quarterback, would have sold out every home game they ever thought about. Nope, no games here. And then the Super Bowl comes.
Yeah, that's a bad run.
I mean, think about the gate receipts, lost just in that, right?
It's mind-boggling. I mean, the number of – when you look at all these – well, I'll give you an example. Last year, 2020, we were 115 million. So imagine, some of these stadiums for the NFL that, like you say, with Brady and Tampa Bay. How many seats are there?
Like 65,000, and the minute they announced Brady, like, they were sold out. Boom.
Yeah, we haven't been sold out for years.
That guy must be bumming. Oh. And the money he's spending. I mean, he brought in Brady. He brought in Gronk. I mean, you guys already had a stellar, solid team, and then he brings in Antonio Brown. I mean, you spent some money.
Hey, did you see that that Brady knew Brown needed like four or five passes to get an extra $500,000, so he did a couple shovel pass willies to him in the last game? That's taking care of the boys right there.
He saved his career.
Yeah.
You got that right.
Brown's like, hey man, yeah. I need four passes, Tom. I get 500,000, brother. Come on, hook me up, kid.
Yeah, Brady's smart, man. Brady's all about bringing in people who can help you win, man. And Brady to Brown, that's.
Well, speaking of franchises, I mean, you probably your biggest one. I mean, I think Dana White, even though his non-biased and, is down the center as you're supposed to be, Conor McGregor is the all-time biggest franchise ever. Is that not right?
100%.
And you got that guy, fighting this weekend, 257, with a possible ploy that will get whatchamacallit out of retirement if McGregor would win.
Yeah, no, we're having a great 3-day. We did ABC on Saturday, killed it. We're supposed to be on ESPN Plus on Wednesday. They actually switched it. They're simulcasting it now on ESPN Plus and ESPN The Network.
That's even better.
And then Saturday, the McGregor fight's trending at 1.5 million pay-per-view buys. So it is a damn good week for us.
Wow.
I've never missed a pay-per-view with McGregor ever, Bubba.
Oh, I mean, he's just the ultimate promoter's dream. He knows when to talk to smack. He knows when to not talk to smack. He knows when to back it down.
He's exciting. He lives it all.
He's fun to watch fight. I mean, the guy's fun to watch fight. He's predicting that he's going to knock out Dustin Poirier within 60 seconds.
Now, Dana, what's it like to deal with him? Is he pretty cool to deal with? Because you got to negotiate, and it's about money and all. I mean, does it get a little sticky with him sometimes?
Listen, last summer he and I got into it, and, we had a little bit of falling out. It's really the first one we've ever had in all these years. I didn't think it was fixable, but we fixed it, and we're cool again. With a guy like Conor, it's fun. We have a good time promoting these fights, doing these big fights. I mean, the kid's saying he's going to knock out the number two ranked guy in the world in 60 seconds. And normally that type of talk would be silly, but if you look at what he's done in the past, he said said exactly what he was going to do to Jose Aldo. Said exactly what he was going to do to, what's his name in New York?
Eddie Alvarez.
And the list goes on and on. The guy does what he says he's going to do, and that makes it fun.
Now, Dana, when you deal with these big franchises, these big ones over the years, I mean, they're kind of like high-strung horses a little bit. You got to expect a little rare up here and there, or they wouldn't be the polarizing champion or guy that they would be. So you have to probably, and I know that it goes from the Jones kid, and everybody in between, but I mean, it's probably pretty much sucks dealing with that all the time.
Well, I have 650 alpha male and females under contract.
Wow.
And every one of them have different temperaments, attitudes, personal problems, you name it. Every day there's something to deal with.
But for the most part,
we got a really good roster of people. They're good people.
Over the years, UFC, Dana, I'm not going to ask who the most difficult was because I think we know, but who's been the best, like the biggest star that was actually, you know, easy to deal with? You know,
Ronda Rousey.
What's that?
Ronda Rousey, the best ever.
That makes sense.
Yep, just no problem, I'll do it. You know, I'll promote it, I'll work, whatever you need.
She changed the sport.
Yeah.
Never said no. Yes is all she ever said. Chuck Liddell was another great one. Khabib Nurmagomedov is great to deal with. You know.
How about
Forrest Griffin?
Great
to deal with.
I was just going to say Forrest Griffin and Randy Couture.
Randy Couture was not, no.
Really? No, see, I always thought Randy was cool. But no? Was Randy tough?
Yeah, no. No. I don't even want to go there. You and I haven't gone at it in a long time.
Okay, and I really I really wasn't trying to, like, you know, sabotage you or nothing. I just had Randy Couture in the studio a few times, and he just always looked like, you know, whatever. He's just pretty cool, you know, but, you know.
Yeah.
That was years ago.
He's one of those guys that seems like he is, but not the case.
UFC 257, of course, McGregor fighting against now, he beat this guy once before, right?
They fought a long time ago, but different guys, man. You know, Poirier is a former world champion now, too. He's beat the who's who and the nastiest division in the sport, and he's the number 2 ranked guy in the world right now. McGregor's ranked number 4. So that shows you what he's done, you know, over the last several years, whereas he lost to Conor McGregor, but he's ranked higher than him.
Yeah, I think he's second and Conor's 5th, I think.
Fourth. Yeah.
My bad on the typo. It's happening Saturday, right. January 23rd. Of course, this is Dana. We've had a huge relationship with Dana over the years. And Dana, man, we love having you on. And thank you for always giving us your time. I always try to make it somewhat quick because I know you got some guy in, like, Iowa you have to talk to as well. But you always make time for me. And I'm so – you know, Dana, I've known you for, God, since 2006. And it's just been – it's been so cool to watch you – take this brand and make it as global as you've made it. And now you got huge networks that are looking at your template on taking things like with Fight Island and during the COVID deal. And you just, I'm just really proud of you, Dana. You haven't let, you know, I know you make a ton of money, but you still act like you're just some kid from Connecticut. Like, you're just a real good dude, my friend. And I'm so proud of you, buddy.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it, man. And continued success to you, too.
All right, buddy, and we'll have you on when you got the big ones. And I can't wait to talk to you again, Dana. Thank you so much for always talking to us, bud.
Go Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dana.
Later.
Bye, buddy. This is the exact same disc that I used yesterday. My bad. Lummy, I know you got a million things going on.
I'm already working on it.
Oh, thank you, my friend.
No problem.
You okay, buddy?
Yes, sir. Sorry.
Yeah, what's to be sorry about?
That I,
yes, sir.
I
seem, yes, that, sir. Sorry.
Yes, I seem down.
Are you?
No, sir.
Oh, I'm not, sir.
What is going on?
This isn't the military. Like, this is.
Did you wake up and think
the Bubba Love Sponge Show, buddy? We're the furthest thing from the military.
Did you wake up and think you were?
Yes, sir. I did. Yes, I did. Yes, sir.
It's 0600 hours. Let me get up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Aye, aye, sir. I mean, what's this? What's going on, buddy? Are you okay?
Yeah, I was just scrambling this morning for a pen. It's kind of throwing me off.
Just the fact that you don't have a pen and you're freaked out now?
Yeah, I got a highlighter instead.
All right, and you mean like...
Get some crayons.
You mean for like various inputs into the Trapper deal?
Yeah.
And things like that?
Yeah, so yeah. I'm a little nervous. You're going to throw a lot of information my way.
I am.
I know.
Well, how do you know? How do you know what I'm? I can't even tell you what I'm going to do.
Because that's the way it works for me in my life.
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
That's the way the cookie crumbles. It means that now I don't have a pen. You're going to come at me with something to write down, and I don't like writing in the Trapper with a Sharpie or a
Holy crap! Give this guy a pen.
Here it comes. Here it comes.
I had a dead throat.
You did. He wasn't even paying attention.
Absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. Bring it back. I'll throw it to you again.
I don't know where it is.
Oh,
my God, he lost.
I just threw you one of my Bic velocities. No,
Lummy, you got to find the pen he just threw you.
Oh,
he's sitting there with his hands waiting for you to throw another one.
Lummy, that was a high-dollar 1.6 Super Glide, buddy. Come on.
Lummy, did you malfunction last night? Did you fall in water or something? What happened?
He's malfunctioning now.
Lummy,
got it.
I have it.
Let me right. Put yourself in rice, please.
Bubba, right. Bubba, he's short-circuiting right in front of us.
I know, so what do you do? Yes, you put in rice.
I don't know.
3 minutes into the show.
Microwave him.
Dan, you got to throw him away and get a new Lummy.
Dan, what is the premise, like, you know, smart guy stuff, like with regards to, and it's worked, I've got my iPhone submerged in water, like real quick, and put it in rice, and it was completely done, and I put it in rice for like a day or two, and mysteriously...
absorbs all the water.
Yeah, it sucks it out.
Rice acts as a desiccant.
So it just slowly sucks it out?
Yep.
Can you eat it afterwards? Could you?
Yeah.
You could. Why not?
I'm just asking. Has anybody had to do that before?
Yes.
No.
Unsuccessfully.
Yes. Oh, it didn't work?
It didn't. I tried it.
I think it's the length of time that it's under. Like if it's under for a while.
David Hernandez, $10 cash.
Well, and most new phones, at least nicer ones, are also waterproof.
Yeah, the newer ones are way better about that.
Are you seeing Blitz, the new, I think it would be the Samsung now equivalent to the iPhone 12. They got their brand new deal now. Have you seen it?
Not yet.
The new Samsung, like G21 or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still...
The one that folded was kind of cool.
Until it didn't fold anymore.
Is that what happens? That's why I don't see them?
Well, so they put like a protective layer on it that was not supposed to be peeled off, and people thought that you had to peel it off when you first bought it, so they'd peel off this layer, and it would just screw the phone up.
But it was really a stock-issued layer that you're supposed to have?
Yes.
And people just thought it was like those, you know, shipping deals?
Yeah, the ones that people find so satisfying to tear off.
No, let me ask you a question. I'm the kind of guy that if I get something that has one of those protective layers, I try to keep it on as long as I can.
Yeah, I do too.
Before I peel it back. I feel like I'm getting a little extra protection or something like that.
I agree.
So, Lummy, are you okay? Did you and your wife fight?
No. We had a great night last night.
What did you and your wife do, Lummy? I want you to give me from the time you walked home from work.
Wait, say that again?
From the time that you walked in from work.
Oh, I thought you said walked home.
Oh, yeah, from the time that you walked in from work. By the way, Lummy, is today garbage day?
Yeah, I took everything out.
Okay, I do have some stuff out back.
Okay.
And I brought a trash bag from home because Tara's really, really mad how much trash I generate. And she's like, why don't you start taking your trash home? I mean, to work with you and keep it out of the house because like.
We're going to need a burn pit here soon because it's like overflowing.
Yeah, I'm just saying. But like it has one of those, you know, just her and her husband, they have one of those, you know, county or city issued, you know, big trash
barrels. Yeah, that's when you ask a neighbor if you can use their can. Well, that's what my neighbor did with me. He had some overflow. He's like, can I borrow your can? I said, hell yeah.
Yeah, well.
Greg,
you know,
come on over, buddy.
I'm stuffing
her. Those mids.
I've been stuffing her can now, so it looks like it's, it's always hanging out, like it's never shut.
Gross.
It's always just, you know, jamming at the seams. And she's like, Bubba, it looks like so embarrassing that we have the most trash now.
I thought you always have Lummy do the illegal dumping around here for the trash that's at the BRN studio. So why don't you just do illegal dumping around Tara's neighborhood?
Right. I don't know if Seth's ever been part of a Price is
Right.
I
don't think most people know what that even means.
Yeah, I don't think most people even know.
Oh, I've heard them.
That means, shut up, we may have to talk about something off mic.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Which we really can't do anymore.
Well,
you guys can, I guess.
Well, no, not really. If I talked hot mic, I mean, if I talked off terrestrial mic, the hot mic's still on, ain't it?
Well, only during the hot mic part. Like right now, if you turn all the mics off, you guys could talk.
Oh, you couldn't hear me?
No, I can't hear you either.
Really?
Let's
check it out. Did you hear it somehow through a pipe in, Willie?
I did.
Hope you know I was just kidding, yeah.
Okay.
Did the hot mic people hear it?
Nope.
Oh, so now you got capabilities, so you can be listening in at any time. That's nice to know all the meetings I've had in here.
He's got a lot of capabilities.
Man, no wonder he knows everything. He pipes in when I'm in here piping.
He's got a bug on you, too.
Probably does.
Another people in chat going, no audio, no audio.
Just for a second, please. Seth, we do not illegal dump or use anybody else's dumpsters around here, buddy. We really don't.
No, of course not. Yeah. It's just all theater of the mind radio nonsense.
What business are we in?
We're in the show business.
Yeah, there you go.
I made a big deal with a couple guys somewhere else to dump our trash there, which is what I did yesterday.
We got a ton. But anyway, out back, Lummy, I have this trash bag that I bought because I parked my truck out back. And in just a little bit of time, I came into the building this morning, and then I went back out to go get Seth Zayety artwork that I made for him. There was this huge coon ravishing through my trash bag.
Oh, nice.
Oh, no.
Coons don't care about trash bags. They go right through him.
Yep.
And he was just straight. He was eating a chicken bone.
Oh, man.
It's like, man.
They're scary.
How'd that get there?
They're scary, man. When you lock
eyes. Sometimes they're big, too.
When you lock eyes with a raccoon and they're just like in the middle of the night and they just like, there's that glistening off their eyes and they don't even move when they see you because they're not scared of humans anymore.
No, because they got like, and they may have a tinge of rabies on them.
Of course.
Are they rodents?
Just a tinge.
Are they rodents? They're not rodents, right?
Dan, what is rabies? Is it a virus? Is it like the they're
it's a virus?
Is it their equivalent to the corona?
Yeah, and what it does is it goes into your brain, and so when you have an animal, when you have an animal bite you, they kill the animal and dissect the brain to see if the rabies is in the brain.
But is rabies just like a way an animal kind of goes insane?
Yeah, it makes them go crazy. Because yeah, it's an infection in their brain.
So since it's a brain deal, then it kind of. It changes their behavior probably more than physicality, right?
Right. And when you're, once
Seth,
you
maybe,
have it.
Seth, maybe you got human rabies.
I mean, do you think that could be a possibility?
Well, it affects your brain.
The treatment for that sucks.
Yeah. Once it makes it to your brain, you're done. That's why if you get it like in your hand, you have a certain number of days to treat it before you can die of rabies.
So do humans, if they get rabies from an animal, and it's not treated, it goes to the human's brain and
yeah,
he starts
right.
going
like Charlie going, Sheen. Exactly.
Like rabid.
Like, you know, like if people say hi to you and you're like.
I don't know if you start doing that, but you probably would be absolutely psychotic.
Really? Has there been any studies about, okay, let's let this guy get rabies and ride it out so we can see what happens?
I'm sure there's been humans that have had full-blown rabies.
They did that with syphilis.
They did do that with syphilis.
I'm laughing. That's
didn't Al Capone have syphilis of
yes,
the brain?
Yes.
Now, Dan,
so did Benjamin Franklin.
They treated him with mercury.
He died of syphilis.
But, Dan, now this is a medical question, okay?
I'm listening.
I want everybody to understand this is a medical question. Do you get syphilis first on the penis? And then it goes to the brain? Is there any other way to get syphilis?
It takes like 10 years.
I'm sure you could get just a straight up blood infection from it if someone had it like and you got their blood. But usually the way you get it is you end up with like a little sore, like a scab on your penis. And that's the
and
initial,
you ride it out.
And then you ride it out. And then all of a sudden you got syphilis and don't realize it. And if you let it go for about 10 to 15 years, it will eat away your brain.
Oh, really?
It takes a long time.
Didn't Ben Franklin die of syphilis?
Maybe. I don't know.
So does that mean? I mean, but so does that mean you didn't get a chance to treat Ben? Did you know?
Huh?
You didn't get a chance to treat Mr. Franklin?
No,
did you?
He didn't call me for the hydroxy either.
No, it was boy, and it would
have been.
But his next door neighbor's long guy did.
And that guy's going to be on the air, by the way, later today. Let's talk about lawn dogging and podcasting.
Boy.
It's asking Seth to produce his lawn dog podcast.
I promise I'll call Andres later. I just didn't have a chance today.
Please record it. I want to see what the big thing is here. And Seth, do it like an interview. So, Andre, tell us about your background in radio and why. You know why? Well, I'm not trying to tell you what to do.
I'm 1,000% sure that he has never heard of me at all. So I'm really trying to figure out how I approach this.
He knows your name. He knows your name.
He knows your name is right. Does he know anything about it? What if we gave him some show trivia?
Oh, I'm sure he'd do really, really, really well.
Really? I mean, is he a fan of the show?
I mean, he listens to the show. I don't know how well he'd be with the trivia.
Okay, well, anyway, Andre, I'm getting ready to possibly cancel Dana White in the 9 so we can stick it to Andres who is only available.
It's compelling, man. Compelling.
Compelling of about what? What does he do?
He's a sports guy.
But is he a sports guy, or is he like a published in a
company? No, come on, Bubba.
No,
he owns
a TV, Bubba.
He owns his TV and ESPN app. Just listen, Bubba, he's got the ESPN app and he owns a TV, buddy.
He's the next Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. And again, he's not distributed by any other means. He's just a guy. He's just a guy who knows about sports.
Yeah. And wants to be a podcaster. Wow. He idolizes Seth.
I can't wait.
He's got a poster of Seth on his wall.
If he does indeed idolize Seth, then let's go through do some Seth trivia before, you know, like, you know, hey Andre, what was Seth's first radio station here in Tampa? You know, that he should know. Well, it was Fisher and Boy, 97.5.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah. And then he went on to the next level with probably one of the most, you know, one of his most favorite people ever to work for.
The
Jay Donovan.
Ugh. Yeah,
you didn't know that either, Dan.
I was going to say Drew Grabo.
Who was worse to work with, Jade or Drew?
Oh, Drew by far. Jade is just an absolute Beautiful woman.
Oh, I don't.
I was going to ask Seth, but yeah, Bubba works too. No,
I'm just giving you my 30,000 feet view from a major radio professional such as myself.
Jade was worse.
Really?
She's so hot though. She's just so. Oh my god. That's all I'm saying.
I guess that's what a lot of people said. Never.
Was there all kinds of dudes in the building trying to get it?
I don't know. She was just so bitchy that I don't think.
Is she pretty?
Yeah, let me send me a picture. And not one for the last couple of years, like, when she was on with Regis or something like
back
that.
Back in the 90s?
No, she did do a couple of days with Regis when Kathy Lee got breast cancer or something like that.
She really?
Yeah, well, when they were replacing Kathy Lee, they had
before
like a whole,
Kelly?
Yeah, they had a whole big contest. It was going to be the next Yippee-O, and Jade actually did a show. She did a great job. She looked beautiful. Did I mention that?
Yeah.
Man, this is why I'm a little bit worried about Saturday or Sunday's game. I am a little concerned. My Packers taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC Championship game. Here's what I'm. Oh, I got distracted. Is this a Jay Donovan deal here?
Yeah, it's an audition tape for Regis and Kelly.
Oh, it is? All right, hold on.
I love Regis and Kelly, and I've always wanted to do television.
Dan, you don't think that she's a very attractive woman?
She's adorable.
When I got the call, I was so excited. My coworkers actually got my reaction on tape.
No way! I got the call to be on Regis and Kelly! I can't stop dancing!
Okay.
Seth might have been right.
Yeah.
Quite the visionary. Quite the gauge of talent.
She looks like she can
Seth
crawl
Kushner,
a lot.
I'm on bended knee asking for forgiveness, my friend.
That's all right.
My penis was talking for me. My brain was not.
Oh, I didn't. I had no choice. That was when they got rid of everybody at 97X. And, okay. Yeah.
She looks like she can crawl a lot.
Well, I don't know. She's just
big
not,
arms.
She's got, no, she didn't have big arms at all. She's very beautiful.
She's a fourth chair that is at number one because of her looks.
Hey, well, I've been with a few of those in my life. Fourth in attitude, number one in looks. Usually gets you number one in looks.
Yeah. That's why the radio business is thriving right now.
Exactly. The demise of radio is when you guys start having to see me. Oh, my God. When I was the Wizard of Oz and you couldn't see me, it was real fun. Thought I was black. You thought I was a Hispanic. You thought I was skinny. You thought I was fatter than I already am. It's crazy. This is what's got me a little concerned, Seth Kushner, being a big sports guy. We're talking to Andre later today. Us sports guys have got to stick together.
I'm going
to
stake on this.
Buccaneers got Villa off of the injured reserve. This guy is an absolute beast.
Yes.
Like, he is an absolute beast.
A run-stuffing monster.
Yeah. And,
well, so he's been at, so he has 3 weeks to be able to come back and play. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to even play. They might see him for 3 weeks and go, hey, you're not well enough to play, or he might be ready to play this week. I don't know, but either way,
I think you get that guy in it under any conditions you can. He's just such a huge impact on run stopping. He's a load.
What was his injury?
I don't know.
I already clicked off. Syphilis.
His knee.
I don't think he'll play this week, Bubba. They're probably holding out hope that he can return for the Super Bowl in a few weeks, but I don't think he'd be coming off injured reserve.
You don't think so?
He probably needs a couple of weeks of conditioning and all that before he's ready to play.
No, that's what they do during injury reserve. He's been conditioning. Yeah. He's been training. He's been doing rehab. It's intense. It's more work than practicing.
When you're on injured rehab, I've always, Dan, you can validate this. You were a team doctor for 6 years. Like, they report to the headquarters the same time as the other guys, and while the other guys are watching film and practicing, they're just busting their ass on rehab deal.
Yep.
The whole entire time.
It's not fun.
Do they have like a whole wing of rehab, like a whole rehabilitation deal?
The new Buck facility is really pretty and really nice, and the training room is like the size of, the training room is bigger than the studio. And attached to it's like the underwater swimming treadmill.
Yeah. I saw that when I did a tour.
Ice baths and some of the other rooms, so they have plenty of room for this stuff.
But they have like rehabilitative doctors and staff?
Trainers do a lot of the rehab exercising, and they're in communication daily and multiple times during the day with the medical staff. But the trainers usually run the rehab part of it, and so while the guys are practicing, they're doing the rehab stuff with the guys in the same weight room. It's just that the guys are outside and they're doing the rehab inside.
Now, what do the team doctors for the Bucs, are they the ones that that provide the necessary surgeries, or are those all specialized?
Both.
And a lot of times out of town and stuff like that.
It's both. It depends.
on what type, right?
Depends on the surgery, yes. And
like
who
your
is.
Dad was always kind of the hernia guy, was he not?
Terrell Owens came to Tampa to get his hernia fixed. I mean, you know, back in the day, anyone in the country that had a sports hernia went to Tampa for it. And so, just like there's that guy Andrews.
In Birmingham, Alabama, for your knee.
Exactly. And he was the knee guy for 25 years. And there's a shoulder guy, and there's a hip guy, and there's a hand guy. But
why is the hernia a common injury in football?
Farts hurt people too, 1,000 bits.
It was a sports hernia. And first of all, guys that get hernias usually show up, the hernia shows up between 15 and 25. And so when you're an athlete that's really thin and straining a lot, those hernias tend to show up. Plus,
and your dad, though, at one time, while he was practicing within the league, was the hernia guy for no matter if the guy played for the Chargers or for the Bucks.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. He had done more than anyone else in the country at one point.
And so why do they happen to athletes – between 15 and 25.
They happen, hernias happen to people. Usually you see a hernia in a person somewhere between 15 and 25, the early hernias.
What's that sound? Oh, I got something turned up.
The hell? Not me.
Can you guys hear that?
Yeah, it's your intro music. Your intro music's playing somewhere.
There it goes.
It's gone.
It seemed like it was coming through your mic.
Lummy, were you doing royalty-free music over there?
Were you putting together your royalty-free? Be honest, buddy, because it wasn't coming through any of my pots. I'm a radio professional of 36 years.
No, I was just typing notes. No music up.
I thought maybe you were maybe going through some, your royalty needle. No big deal.
I wait to do that at home.
Oh no, Lummy, sad.
Well, I didn't know what was going on.
Are you sad about Vita Vea?
No, he's good.
Who do you initially? Almost got 1,000 people in chat. This is
620.
Yeah,
wow.
I got 649. So, something I was just asking. I forgot.
I think Dan was saying the time.
Yeah, I was.
Nobody knows what anybody's talking about here.
It's 8:40. It's 8:49. Oh, Lummy, who do you like for the game Sunday? Packers, Bucks.
I'm sorry, but I like the Bucks.
Really?
Yeah.
And tell me why. I mean, the Bucks scare the hell out of me based on what they did to the Packers the first game. I don't know how much weather conditions are really going to matter. I mean,
it's going to be cold, though.
Yeah,
the Bucks don't like the cold.
They'll matter to everybody, to a lot of people, just, not Tom Brady. I don't think he'll be affected by it.
I don't either.
Those other guys aren't used to playing in January.
And
Wisconsin.
Gronkowski is.
Yeah, Antonio Brown played in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh, okay. Right.
There's 70 guys on a team.
That's all we need. And I think the offensive lineman from Iowa probably did a couple snow games, too. So we're good, right?
Yeah, that redheaded guy?
Yeah.
He's nasty, isn't he?
He ended up being an immediate starter.
Yeah.
Like an absolute day one starter.
Did you see him? He put a guy on the ground last weekend. I mean, really just
forget what his name is.
He owned him. Jensen?
Are you talking about Ryan Jensen, the center?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the guy from Iowa.
The first-round pick this year.
Didn't he end up stepping up and just starting immediately?
Worse?
Yeah, Tristan Wirfs. He had a good year.
He had a great year. He doesn't get beat much.
Was he right tackle or left?
He's right tackle this year. Fat Donovan Smith is the starter at left tackle. That guy is absolutely worthless.
You don't like him?
No, he's a horrible.
Why don't you put the worth guy over to the left and put the horrible Willie over to the right?
They're so specialized. I think they are, though.
Soon.
There was a guy, what's his name? Kenyatta Walker. And they tried to move him to the other side, and he didn't do well. And he said, when all you guys are writing about how badly I did, take your pen and put it in your left hand and then write it and tell me how good it looks.
Mm.
So these guys are so specialized in what side they work on, it's very difficult for them to just flip.
I can't write left-handed.
Can you, Dr. Dan?
Not well. I can't write well right-handed.
Guess what I got?
My kid's failing handwriting.
Your kid's failing handwriting?
Failing handwriting.
Hold on. How does your kid fail handwriting?
Because he writes like a clown. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Jeez.
I mean, don't you got heat on that deal?
I got a lot of heat on him. I'm writing sentences with him.
Dan, I can't teach my kid some of the stuff. Like, my kid's a senior in high school, and some of the stuff I just don't know. Well, let me be honest with you. Most of the stuff I can't figure out. It's like a new way of math and a new way of all this stupid nonsense. Well, I think the one thing I could do is teach him how to write a little bit neater.
I mean, you tell him to make a circle, he makes an oval. It's just frustrating. You know, it's just frustrating.
Have you slapped
him
upside the back of the head?
No. I'm not big on that corporal stuff.
Do you believe that's a skill, like handwriting, that he's going to actually need down the road?
No, I don't think it's a skill he's going to need at all.
Okay.
So I'm not that worried about it.
I didn't think so either. I don't think anybody's going to need to know how to write anymore.
How old is he?
Who do you think has the neatest? Nine. Who do you think has the neatest handwriting here?
Obviously the chick.
No, it's actually Bubba.
No, Bubba's got
really?
Great handwriting.
Yeah, does. Yeah.
You think so?
It's better than Anna's?
Yeah, mine's not great.
Bubba, you wouldn't have asked the question about handwriting. You already knew the answer. No one goes, hey, who's got the best handwriting around here? You know it's you.
No, I do not.
Yes, you do.
No, I do not.
You've got the fancy celebrity. You can read it. It's nice.
It's legible.
Legible, but it's got that flair of the cursive flair.
Oh.
The big B that you make.
I was going to have everybody sign their name on a piece of paper.
Signing isn't handwriting.
And do our daily cube.
Oh, see, now that's just a low blow, Seth Kushner.
I'm sorry.
That is just an absolute.
I was going to have everybody write their name on paper and pass it around. By the way, I called 18 numbers yesterday looking for Andres because Dr. Dan's handwriting is so bad. So I didn't.
You couldn't figure out the
number. I couldn't figure out the number. I did 18 different combinations.
And when you're a doctor, do you just write like a dick just because that's what doctors do?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, like you could make it much nicer, but you're a doctor. And so you just make it, you know, like a dick.
Yep, exactly.
There's a Curb Your Enthusiasm, Bubba, where Larry David brings a note to a pharmacist because he can't read it, and he figures pharmacists have to read poor handwriting from doctors.
They're used to doctor writing,
yeah,
right?
So he brought it to the doctor to see if he could read what was on the note.
That's so funny. But, you know, we use, like, little abbreviations and stuff, so that's why when you're trying to look at it, it doesn't make any sense.
So it's supposed to be a little weird. You guys got, like, some insider terms.
Yeah.
They know that whether it's, you know, white trash Todd Klim trying to get some pain pills or, you know, a real doctor.
Exactly. But now they got all these e-scripts, so it takes some of that fun out of it. But
my one doctor, man, he just retired, Dr. Chiaramonte, and he had this thing, Dan, it looked like It was a necklace, and it had like a little digital screen on it. And every time he would enter in your medication into the system, the DEA sends a code to this little display that he's got, and he has to put it immediately in, like within.
It's like a chip reader for a credit card, yes. So it just keeps changing. That's interesting.
So, like, if you would like write a prescription that had any type of opiate, you know, type deal, and you would say like, you know. Percocet 10-325, 8 of them, you know, for whatever. Because they have to be really, they can't be really aggressive on that kind of stuff.
Not anymore. You can't give them more than 7 days worth.
Right. And so it would then generate a code that he had to input on the system to, you know, verify that an Adidas doctor was doing it.
Yeah. The protections are greater and greater. We have to actually look up a person's drug history before we can give them a narcotic.
You do?
It's called eForce, and it's a website that kind of like takes care of any prescription goes through that. And so when you.
So, like, if somebody just went for some, just like, I don't know, ibuprofen or something like that.
No, it's mostly for controlled substances. So, like, if I were to, before I can write you a script for Percocet, I get your eForce, and it says all the narcotics, the benzodiazepines, all the sketchy drugs that you've had in the last few years, and then it rates you. It gives you a rating of how much
of a crackhead you are.
Yep. And people that go to like pain management, they have to take drug tests. And like if you're prescribed oxycodone, you cannot have hydrocodone in your system.
Correct.
Otherwise, they won't give you either.
That's why Blitz and I don't go to those places.
Well, no one should.
Yeah, exactly. Those pill mills. I don't even know they're around anymore, are they?
They are. There's a few, but they're hard to find.
So, Dan, they get your social, your date of birth, whatever. They put your information. And then this screen comes up and it says, okay, you know, Bubba Klim.
323,
and it lists.
Woo, that's high.
It lists. Oh, have you ran my numbers?
You just did. Yeah,
that's just like a typical number you get, like in the 300s or 250s or 400s. If they're on a lot of drugs, you get a number.
It's
like
a credit score for drugs.
Now
you want the number lower.
Dr. Dan had to run the numbers on your fish tank guy the other day, Bubba, and he was at a 722.
Now, Dan, does it break? Like, you know, what if it's not anything? Like, what if it's like an antibiotic or like, you know, anti-inflammatory or, you know, a heartburn medicine?
Nope. It's just narcotics and the benzos.
So the score that you get is the hard score.
The hard score.
And you obviously want that. What not mentioning any person's name, even gender, where they live, what's one of the higher, like what's a high score you've seen before?
Sixes, high sixes.
600s?
Yeah, high 600s.
Now at that
point,
I don't
know how they make that score. It's just a random, it's just their way of making it easier for you to stratify people.
That's like what Prince's rating was, right? When he was going to all those different.
Oh, yeah, it was probably like 800.
Yeah. He was going to all those different Walgreens in Minnesota.
So, Dan, if you go and you're going to prescribe, you say you had a woman or a guy that came in and had a procedure where it would require he had,
Percocet.
You know, a few Percocets, you know, 8, right. 10, 12, however many. You know.
I would normally give like 40.
I know. Those days are over.
No, I can still give 40. I just can't give like 60.
All right. So you're going to give this guy 40 because he had a rhinoplasty. He's going to have a lot of pain, you know, whatever. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that would be like a guy type surgery that you would probably, you know.
Yeah, of course.
All right. So he's got a full-blown nose job / rhinoplasty. You give him 40. You go to look up his number, and it's like, you know, this guy's Johnny Pill guy. Do you at that point have to back it down a notch so that you can say to the feds, hey, I wasn't trying to, you know, help his obvious opiate addiction.
Well, that's the whole thing. That when you see a high number like that, or you see that someone's had like, you know, 14 Percocet prescriptions in the last 6 months, then you have to like sort of, you know, step back a second and have a conversation like what's going on.
Now, do you talk to them?
Yeah.
And like, how would you say that? Let's say you're walking into the room and I, you know, you're going to give me some pain pills for my new, I've tried to de-gorilla my nose. And you see that I had, you know, a lot of pain prescriptions. What do you say to me?
I'm like, dude, what's up with all this narcotics?
Try
what's
a Monster.
The perks?
Yeah, man, they're good, aren't they?
I'll tell you what's up with them.
They're delicious, man.
Yeah, well, you're using those, and I'm not giving you any more then.
Oh, man.
Come on, dude. I know where you live.
You got plenty of Percocets.
I'm going to
man,
Mexico,
I know what show. I'm
I shut people down. But a lot, that, I don't get that
well,
situation.
Well, because you get in trouble.
Yeah.
Laser my bush, dude.
Okay, please.
Dude, laser my bush, man. I want to be just like the people in your neighborhood, bushless, man.
Moving on up.
Come on, I can't drive a Pista, man, but I can get some, you know, hair off my pube, brother.
Come on, give me the Vikes, bro.
Fill a big trash bag and put it in your neighbor's trash can.
What is the most industrial strength painkiller? Like it just
OxyContin, maybe?
Morphine?
Oh, no, yeah. we it's morphine's the best. I mean, you
they
know,
make
for,
morphine
for
pills.
Yeah,
I
but
think they're
really
like 10
work.
Milligram willies,
yeah,
right?
They
don't
do.
Work.
No, they
you gotta be like in a hospital to get morphine.
It's better IV. Yeah.
What works? What pain pill seems your patients
Oxycontin,
are telling you?
Percocets. Percocets
really?
Are the best. Yeah, yeah. There's Dilaudid.
It's oxycodone. So.
Yeah, oxycodone works really well. Dilaudid works okay. Demerol doesn't work at all. Demerol is useless.
Three like
a Darvocet. That's useless.
Like
Vicodin just make you nauseous.
So perk would be like a 10-325,
yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had someone try to come to you to get a procedure just for the pills?
I've had a couple of people where I thought about that, but most of the time when I have a problem with pills, it's that they're an addict and they're on those like not Narcan, but
like fentanyl.
No, they're on that like that chronic pain, stuff like that. That chronic pain medicine that's
methadone.
Sort of methadone. That's sort of a narcotic, but it's not really. It doesn't give you the euphoria, but doesn't make it
Suboxone
better. And if you take a narcotic with it more, it'll make
you
it sick.
Yeah.
Exactly. They
Subutex.
Do that with like antabuse for people with alcohol.
Yep.
Well, with methadone, man, they have to go like every morning to like this little methadone clinic.
Isn't
and
that to wean you off heroin?
I guess.
Yeah, it's a substitute, essentially. It doesn't use. They don't really wean people off with it. They just kind of sub it in instead.
So when
they add that stuff, it's hard to give Percocet on top of it.
Because they get sick.
Right. So I end up giving like Toradol.
Hello, who's this?
From Charleston.
Who from Charleston?
Mike.
Hey, by the way, Blitz, we need to get a hold of Ray Ray from Charleston, our board op. He was at the party on Saturday.
Yes, yeah, finally
we can get his 30,000 feet view of the whole deal.
Right.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. From Charleston.
Hey, this is Dr. Dan. My wife watched the video on TikTok last night of this plastic surgeon, Dr. Dan Aronoff. I don't know if his name. And how do you have the stomach to do this stuff? He's showing videos of inside the skin after he cut all the skin, extra skin off. Hmm.
You know, it's the first day of medical school. You're with 100 kids that are all excited to be doctors, and with the entire group, you go down and you meet the cadavers. And so you think it's going to be really scary, but because there's 99 other people doing it, it's that crowd mentality. You just kind of get over it. And when it comes to like real life stuff, as long as the person's not wailing in pain and it doesn't stink, I'm okay with it. But if it smells or the person's awake, like the hardest job, I think, in society is the paramedic. because not even the ER doctors, the paramedic, because they catch him. Because
he's right there as a
no pain medicine, immediate injury, sees the dirt and the grime and the bone sticking out.
He sees the hamburger meat on the skin.
Right. It's got to be the most difficult job is those first responders.
The guys who have to stabilize it just enough to get him to the hospital.
That's DCAP, our hero, our first responder hero.
So they are really heroes to me because I know what they have to see and have to hear and have to smell and have to feel.
Jeez.
And it's disgusting.
Dan's
it's
big
really
on
difficult.
The smells.
And the worst part is
the smell's huge. You can't forget smells.
Oh, God.
They have to get permission to give them a lot of drugs before they give it to them.
Sir, you're dying, I know.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
They're not
they
allowed to just give them stuff. They have to call it in and ask.
So by the time they get to me, they usually have an IV. They're usually sedated a little bit. They've calmed down a little bit. Most of the big stuff's cleaned up. You know, it wasn't as bad.
But Dan, like on the street level, paramedic style, what is, like, is there certain levels of care they can go to and then stuff that they can't? Or can they do anything in the field to save your life?
No, because they don't know how to do everything in the field. Like, they're not going to crack your chest open and start doing cardiac massage in the field. That's okay. Just not happening.
No, but even a lot of medications, Bubba, they have to call it in first and ask before they give
they're
it
like
to them.
They're like a nurse. Like,
can they run a trach?
They can intubate, but I don't know that they can do...
Probably not.
They can intubate, but they can't put the hole in the neck and do that one, the crike. Oh,
is that one? What's the sketchiest? Is it the trach?
It's pretty sketchy. Like, I remember once I was moonlighting in some rural hospital, and an ambulance came to meet the helicopter to take him to a real hospital. But while they were waiting for the helicopter...
You were at the middle hospital?
No, I was in a little crappy little hospital in the middle of nowhere in Louisiana moonlighting, you know, trying to make my $50 an hour.
Right.
Trying to bang a Cajun woman.
Yeah, trying to bang some 19-year-old Cajun candy striper. Oh, hold on. Don, yuckle.
In those hospitals.
Just by the swamp. Yeah, by the gatos. The swamp. The big Italian peanuts. Gonna go catfish on. Go Saints.
Conversation.
Want to go to Mardi Gras?
In those hospitals, the candy strippers are about 90.
Okay, so anyway,
there's about one.
You're moonlighting. You're moonlighting at a Cajun, you know, a Cajun three-story hospital here, right?
Not even. Some of them are one stories.
All right, so
I mean, they're like a ranch house.
So the helicopter comes in with a code 9 or what?
No, the helicopter's not there. The ambulance is waiting on the damn helicopter to take the kid to Baton Rouge. The kid got shot in the face.
All right,
and
you're the ER doctor.
I'm the ER doctor, and they're supposed to bypass me, not even interact with me. Just use the helipad.
Because he's talking to the Cajun woman.
Yeah, I'm busy. I'm busy trying to get some.
Can't see the guy's face. I'm with the Cajun 19-year-old. The rubber hole.
Try to figure out what swamp I'm going to pick up at later.
We're going to have a crawfish boil a little bit later. I'm going to bang her over the crawfish bowl.
A little etouffee.
I got no time for this gunshot wound in the face.
And we do the worst Cajun impersonation. We do the worst Cajun impersonations. All right, Dan, so you got the candy striper, the Cajun candy striper, in a buffalo stance in ER2. And
yeah,
next thing you know,
the call room.
Next thing you know, Black Wolf Down coming down. Black Hawk Down's coming in.
Yeah, runs in and goes, we lost the airway. Can you help? I'm like, sure. You know, I always say yes. And so I run outside, and I literally had learned how to do this procedure the day before.
At school.
Well, in my residency. I'd learned how to do it on paper months before, but I never actually physically had done it. So I literally, like, a couple days before this, I had to do an emergency crike, which is like an emergency trach, and we have to cut the neck and put the tube in.
Oh.
So,
crikey.
So these guys are like, well, what are we going to do? I'm like, give me a knife. And so I cut the guy's throat, stick the tube in, go back inside. And
that's straight pimp.
I did it.
Just when I thought Dan over, you know, kind of a little bit overstepped at times. I mean, that bitch can cut your throat and put a tube in.
Yep.
So Andre also, will be calling you later today, buddy.
Yep.
Dan just doesn't want to be bothered. You know, I think that's the thing. It's like, geez, you idiots, I'll cut this guy's neck, like, go back to doing whatever exactly. I was doing.
Yeah, back to the buffalo.
Yeah.
Went back to the room 3 buffalo Cajun.
To alligator wrestle.
So
sorry there, Tootsie. I had to put a tube down a guy's throat.
So saves his life. He goes to the hospital. Then when the helicopter gets to the hospital, the admitting doctor calls me up, pissed. Oh. I'm like, why did you? He goes, why did you go out there and trach this guy or crank this guy? I'm like, dude, because he was dying. They lost the airway. He goes, but now I got to take care of him. He's unfunded, gunshot to the head. He's brain dead. And now you dump this on me. I'm like, dude, F you. and I hung up on him.
What is unfunded?
No insurance.
Empty wallet biopsy.
What's he worried? So what's the doctor?
He just wanted you to let him die?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, now he's got to take care of this guy.
That's America, kids.
Now he's got to take care of this guy, right?
Yep.
At what point do you go from a nasopharyngeal airway kit to a trach?
No,
when
whoa.
Easy.
What the
Seth. Whoa.
Yeah, Seth.
I mean, whoever. I mean, on his WAP with that type of wording.
Talk dirty to me.
I had a question. Sorry.
When you have mid-face trauma.
And you can't get the kit
because or the bones are all smashed, okay. Or there's just blood everywhere. And you just got to bypass it. I mean, it's a straight shot. I mean, I can crank somebody in 15 seconds.
Oh, right.
Whereas traking somebody can take a minute or two, even an easy trach. I mean, even intubation could take a minute or two, even in an easy intubation, if you don't get the curve of the tube just right and you can't see the suction. But you know, it's way more definitive.
Now, Dan, are you cutting this guy's throat with no anesthesia? I mean,
he's just dying. He doesn't care.
Dan didn't care. That's what he said.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He was dying. I didn't care.
But, I mean, Dan, is it in today's medicine, is it like, you know, is under...
you have time to do it.
Is underfunded a thing, meaning like they will...
Yeah, it's been a thing for a lot of years.
It's still a thing?
It's still a thing.
Oh, so, man. Like, if, you know, they roll in Bubba Clem with, you know, Loomis, horrible insurance, and they it's going to take a lot of money to save me, but they can... Or, you know, maybe not so much. I mean, you know, right?
You know, I had to deal with this about 15 years ago. A guy got admitted to, I think it was Bayfront. And it was a big car accident trauma. And he was a client of Stephen and Jay's. And he was also like a secondary friend of the family, like the long guy's pool guy.
Big right, Country 2988 with 10,000 bits.
Oh, my God. And we'll be calling that guy today for a podcast. Big Country 2988. I love you, kid. 10 G's deep, buddy. Anyway, go ahead.
So I talked to the ER. I mean, I talked to the guy in the hospital that's taking care of him. And I'm like, listen, this guy's a friend of mine. Take good care of him. He goes, oh, no, I think he's going to be okay. We have this, 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 and this. And we're going to stabilize that, that, and that. And he should be fine. I'm like, okay, great. Thank you very much for taking care of him. So about 5 days later, I get a frantic call from Steven. And they're about to pull the plug on the guy. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, yeah, they're about to pull the plug. They says he's dying. There's nothing they can do. They just want to pull the plug. I'm like, hold on a second. So I called the same guy. I'm like, hey, a-hole, 4 days ago, this guy was perfectly salvageable because he's got no insurance. You're going to pull the freaking plug on him? Are you kidding me? If you do that, I am going to come after you so hard, you son of a... I mean, I started screaming at the guy. Lo and behold, guy makes a miraculous recovery and is discharged from the hospital in perfect condition almost, except for his like initial injuries. Like 8 days later.
But he's paying him, you know, $26 a month for the rest of his life.
Yeah, he got that negotiated. We can negotiate that down.
Dr.
They were gonna kill him because he didn't have money.
Dr. Dan said the guy was salvageable. Yeah. Oh, my God. I don't want ever to be described as that.
I know. Can you imagine if you're only salvageable?
I know.
Yeah, that's the word, salvageable.
God, I got to get better insurance. Hey, Golden Rule, get out of here.
I'll kill you.
Seth, don't.
There's two ways to get killed in the hospital. Well, now there's a third way.
Don't have insurance.
Don't have insurance.
Let me write these down.
Have an actual fatal situation.
No, that's not it. That's not it. Right, I'm talking about how to get killed in the hospital.
Okay, great.
One, don't have insurance. Right.
Number two, nowadays it's like have COVID.
Right. They're going to
They just want to go ahead
get a payout from the government.
Yeah, and the third one is if you're an organ donor.
Yeah, you know what? I'm an organ donor, and I'm
dead three times over.
We keep telling you to change that, Bubba.
I know.
They pull the plug so fast. If you got decent organs and you're under 60.
Oh, jeez.
Although I do have a kidney stone on deck. I've had so many of them that I know when one is like
it's brewing.
Well, it's probably traveling, Dan. It's probably going from my kidney down to my penis now.
Ureter?
Yes.
When can we expect it? Around the Super Bowl, Bubba? Is this like a hurricane here? We're tracking Bubba's kidney stones.
Listen, I've probably had 15 of them, and you can never, once it's, there's no pain when it's floating around in your kidneys. It only starts hurting when it starts trying to travel out, right?
Yeah, because it's got to stretch out a skinny little tube. I mean, you're talking about something the size of the end of an eraser going through a tube that's smaller than a pen cartridge.
Yeah.
Aren't you going to be on the grader a lot? Won't that help break it up?
Actually,
does it?
It doesn't help break it up, but all the equipment that I run helps move it. It doesn't break it up, but it lodges it, you know. Finally through my piping, so...
Now, are you taking Flomax?
Yes. I actually self-prescribe myself double. Like, I'm taking...
Oh, okay, yeah.
You should probably take a little Cialis, too.
For what?
It shrinks your prostate.
Oh.
Helps it get through.
And so I'll be like laying nice during the show, you know?
Laying nice during the show, number one. And your stone will have an easier path to travel.
There you go.
Dr. Dan, is there anything Bubba can do?
Let me Wi-Fi.
My God,
Iggy,
Lummi, how did you miss
that? $100 cash. God, I'm in the corner over here now. Sorry, Bubba.
Wait till you do my studio remodel, Lummi, and I got you even more. Like the kids' table is like, you know, inside the shower.
That's a hot spot it in.
I don't know. I got to get with Blitz and lay out some stuff.
Is there anything that Bubba can do to not have to deal with kidney stones every couple of months?
You know, some people say that it's a change of diet can help, but some people, no matter what kind of diet change you make, they still form stones.
When I first started getting stones, Dr. Mark had me go to a specific stone doctor, and they took samples of my kidney stone.
Right.
And they're like, it's a body pH imbalance. It's not food related or calcium related. It's a pH thing.
So why don't you help with your pH? Why don't you adjust it?
They didn't offer that.
They didn't tell you to drink like apple cider vinegar or something?
Are you too acidy or too basic-y?
I think I'm too acidy.
Because they're
crystallized real. I got one over here. You want to see it, Dan?
Mm. You should probably have one analyzed again because it's been a long time.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Do you ever drink water, Bubba?
Oh, no, it's like me.
I thought it was a kidney stone.
Can you imagine you think you're taking a Viagra and you end up dropping a stone?
Dan, what? Oh, here's one. Would that hurt you if you eat a kidney stone?
No, it may chew up your throat a little bit. Depends on how rough it is. You won't get an erection, though.
Lummi, come here for a second. No, I cleaned this in alcohol and everything like that. It soaked.
Whatever. It's fine.
Here, hold on.
Lummi doesn't care.
But have him put it back in, Lummi, and bring it back. That's my show stone.
Is it next to your show knife?
I can't.
That happens to be on the smaller end of ones that I get. That's my latest one that I got about 6 months ago. And feel how sharp it is.
Yeah, it's like a pebble from outside.
Yeah, but if you...
There's two pieces to it. Does it break?
Yeah, you just probably broke it.
Dude, I just gently put it out onto the...
Who cares? Paper. We're going to get another one here soon.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Lummi.
And what is that, about 5-6 millimeters?
Yeah, I'd say that. What's the biggest one you've ever passed?
12.
Oh, whoa. God. I can't imagine. It's like a fist.
Oh, and you're not supposed to get fisted there.
Not there.
It's not
no.
a good place for
Wait,
fisting.
12 millimeters? That's over a centimeter.
Oh, it's the worst.
That's big.
So you,
that's half an inch.
So as many
it's a 50 caliber bullet.
As many as I've had, you just know what happens. So what happens is it feels like you're constipated when it's traveling. Oh my God. You feel like you're constipated.
Help.
And then you...
But in the front?
But yes, front constipation. thank you.
Sorry. I'm a doctor.
Front constipation.
She's fascinated by your pain, Bubba.
And then right at the most lower part of your abdomen, like right where your pubic mound hits your waistline, you know, that kind of area right there, it feels like somebody's like has 10 ice picks just stuck right in there. Well,
that's where it's like stuck. Fun. That's where the stone is stuck. And there's little, 10 little spikes sticking out of that stone that are sticking into your urethra, causing all that pain.
So then it kind of, you know, it hurts for like a day or two, and then it kind of goes away. And then... It goes to your penis, like the actual, into that part of the plumbing.
Is that like labor? Like you're giving birth?
No, you're just clogged. It doesn't really hurt once it's in your penis. It doesn't really hurt, but you can feel it in there. And
can you kind of jiggle it out?
No, you really can't. Like you can't.
You can't milk it, jiggle it, or work it.
Not really.
Can't milk it?
No. Mm-hmm. It's like trying to milk a stone through your jeans.
You can't. Yeah, you can't milk a stone. And so, I mean, like, you can't milk a sand spur.
Yeah.
Off of, you know?
It's just like a sand spur. Exactly. Yeah. Imagine a sand spur inside of your plumbing.
Inside of your pee plumbing.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
So, the urination before you're going to pass it is as you're holding your penis kind of like cocks like a gun. Like, kind of, it literally physically goes, and then you know it's like really in the last couple of, you know, inches.
It's on the precipice.
And then the next urination, you're peeing and all of a sudden it just goes, because you're peeing in like a cup so you can, you know, retain it. And it just goes, and then once it finally pops, it's like, oh, it's almost like orgasming. It's like, oh.
Can you have it so bad that you can't even urinate?
Yeah, like you become clogged. Yes.
I feel like that can kill you, right?
Yes.
Yeah, whatever. Yep. Bubba Clem.
A lot of people get infections from it.
Bubba Clem killed for being clogged. Am I the only person that's had kidney stones here?
Yeah.
Do women have them ever?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they have a short urethra, so it doesn't hurt as much because it's easier to pass.
Would you recommend Bubba just tries water, Dr. Dan? Sure.
I think water's possible.
I think water
could help.
Seth, I drink some water in it.
Seth, I drink a lot of water.
Bubba, I've never seen you drink water.
But
what do you
just
drink
so
water?
You know, just so you know, Seth, though, this can of Munster still counts as 16 ounces of water.
Yeah.
It still counts as water.
Yeah.
It's a clear liquid. Clear liquids or clear liquids, period.
Yeah, there you go. As soon as you open up your medical book, that's the first thing it says.
Doesn't caffeine dehydrate you?
If you're not used to it.
Okay. Oh, but we're used to it. I mean, caffeine's like a Fred Flintstone vitamin compared to what I got going on.
Dr. Dan, are you saying that water and Monster are the same thing?
They're both counted as clear liquids.
If you were to drink a beer like a Miller Lite, did the water used to make that beer, is that count as water too?
Yep.
Oh, is vodka water?
Woo. Yep.
Oh, no. Lummy's the most hydrated guy.
I'm the most hydrated one here.